money move.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
Yeah, we have no clue. Killer Bees trying to make you some money, though. Last week I wasn't here, and the Killer Bees didn't do very good.
Blame Creighton.
Okay, Creighton, that's fine.
It's his damn fault.
But
it's too freaking loud to hear the spread.
The last week y'all went, 2-2, which wasn't terrible. Y'all lost the Lions, which I don't know why y'all played that game. Y'all won the Cowboys.
I think you do know.
Y'all lost the Dolphins. I don't know why y'all played that game. And then y'all won the Texans. I don't know why y'all played that game.
Can I check the text line and Twitch? Did anybody ask Jeremy for his opinion on last week?
I mean,
okay, good.
That's what we do on the Killer Bees. We give our opinions. Uh-huh. That's what sports radio talk show hosts do. Anyways, we are 7-14 as a show against the spread this year. We started off with $1,000 of Mr. Gow's money. The good news is that it isn't all gone. The bad news is that we lost $225 of it. We have $775 left in our budget that Mr. Gow gave us at the start of the year to bet on NFL games. That's okay, though.
We got rid of the flat tire, Jeremy. Let's just do what we like what
That's
we
right.
did with Who Said It. We're just going to band together the Bees.
That's
our
right.
two is better than one, and we're going to roll.
Brendan isn't here, so that's not going to screw us up. Patrick Creighton's not here, so it's not going to screw us up. This is the formula for success. Plankers and Branham, we're going to start making money for you. Just believe us. What's your first game that you want to sell to us?
Well, the first game that I want to sell to you is the fact that I am still not a believer in the Seattle Seahawks. And I think that at home, it's normally a field goal difference one way or another. Seattle's actually at home getting 2.5 against an Arizona team that, thanks to a kicker, didn't have a chance to go to overtime against the unbeaten Eagles. I think Arizona's a better football team than Seattle. I don't think that no matter how much that 12th man's going to try to come into play, they're all going to lose their voice going after the Mariners. Yeah. They're not going to worry about the Seahawks. I like Arizona going into Seattle to win by at least a field goal. I like that game very much.
You know what's funny about this is that I'm usually the Arizona proponent
you
of
are.
The two of us. I'm usually the Kyler
yes, you
advocate of the two of us. But it's been you that has been pushing Arizona whenever you want to bet on them. I had this game being very close. Seattle getting 2.5 points. I have Arizona winning this game by 3. So it was a game that I stayed away from because there's other games I like a little bit more. Geno Smith has been really good this year.
I can't believe that.
He's been.
And I can't
one
believe
the,
it's going to last.
Maybe not, and probably not. He's been one of the better quarterbacks statistically through 5 weeks. Arizona, man, James Conner questionable. They've been kind of hit or miss all year long. I'm okay playing this game, but I would like to play it for a little bit one of our lesser value ones.
$20.
He's 20. I'll go 25 if you want.
I'll go 25.
All right, 25. Arizona getting 3.5 points.
Or getting
2.5 points. We're getting 2.5 points. That game could be moved, by the way.
Because of
actually,
the Mariners?
Actually, they're giving 2.5 points. My bad. They're giving 2.5 points. Yeah, because if the Mariners force a game 4, that game gets pushed back, I think, an hour.
Yeah, because they're very close in proximity to one another, the two stadiums.
Yep.
So I'm sure that would be an issue.
They push that game back an hour. All right, first game that I want to sell to you. I hate doing this because I hate betting against home dogs. I just don't believe a whole lot in the New Orleans Saints. I don't know what they're doing at the quarterback position. I can't believe that they would bench Andy Dalton after the fact that he's been winning some games. Taysom Hill went off last week. Cincinnati's starting to figure it out a little bit. Cincinnati's giving 1.5 points going in to New Orleans this Sunday. I think Cincinnati wins that game easily. I think they win that game by more than one possession. I'm more than happy to give away just 1.5 points. Cincy goes on the road against the Saints. They cover easily.
I don't say easily because I like the spread, and I do believe at the end of the day Cincinnati's going to win this game. Can I just give you one point that worries me?
Sure.
I don't like the offensive line, no matter how they tried to put it together better for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know the one strength of the New Orleans Saints is their front seven and their D-line can get after a quarterback.
Yep.
And I know that Jordan and company can come off the edge and do some damage. I still believe, like you, Cincinnati's going to win this football game. I just have a little bit of concern about the fact that you got to protect Joe Burrow.
25.
That's fine.
$25 Cincinnati giving up 1.5 on the road against New Orleans. What's your second game of the week?
My second game of the week, look, I watched the Giants, and they were down 14 points to the Packers in London. I'm not a believer in the Giants. I'm not a believer in their defense. I believe that when they have to try and contain the running and the passing of Lamar Jackson, and doing what he's been doing and the message he's been sending across the league, even if they're at home and they're getting 5.5, I think Baltimore wins this game by a touchdown. I think that, like I said, Lamar's on a mission. They're trying to kind of cover up for some things and going for it and doing some things that Harbaugh's not exactly happy about. I think they send a message this week twofold. They show that they're still for real. They show the Giants aren't. I think Baltimore wins this game by touchdown.
I like Baltimore's side of this, too, so I'm totally fine playing it. We're going to play it. The question's going to be how much money do we put on this? The thing that I do like have a little bit of reservation on is I think Brian Daboll is a heck of a coach.
I like him.
I think that the Giants are the fighting New York football Giants, and they're going to be competitive basically in any game that they play all year just because they play really hard. I think they have some talent offensively. Look, Saquon Barkley's had a really good bounce-back season. They're calling Daniel Jones Vanilla Vic because he's able to move the ball with his feet.
I've never wavered in the fact. I believe he can play in this league.
He's better with his legs, I think, than his arm. But he's been able to move the ball. And then they're going to fight you defensively. So I'm fine making this bet. I'm fine giving up the 5.5 points for Baltimore on the road in New Jersey. I don't know if I want to go $50 on it, though. Can we go like $40?
Yeah, look, I'm fine with that. The dollar figures,
as
long as we're in agreement, the dollar figures to me I can roll with. I'm trying to win all of Mr. Gow's money back as soon as possible, but I get it.
All right, second game that I want to sell to you. This is the ones that I hate. Going against home dogs. Minnesota's going to South Beach. Long way to go. They're headed to Miami. Miami's getting 3 points at home.
Skylar Thompson is
the quarterback. Minnesota's been pretty good. I think the Vikings are better now with O'Connell than they were a year ago. I think that has upgraded the team. Kirk Cousins is playing pretty well. Justin Jefferson is that dude. Their defense has been a little bit better as well. I think Minnesota easily covers the 3 points that they're giving, even on the road against Miami.
I do too, and I never trust a quarterback named Skylar. But at the same time, I look at this and say, does Vegas know something that we don't? Because this spread should not be this low. I know. This spread should not be this low. I'm with you. I'm curious how much you want to put on it. But I think Minnesota should win this football game.
How about 40 like we just put on the Baltimore? You hesitated there, so how about 30?
30's fine.
All right, we'll put $30 on Minnesota going into South Beach and knocking off the Miami.
Because you know I hope Miami wins that game.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I do. That's why it's tough.
So this is an emotional hedge for you. It's an emotional hedge.
I'm trying to make sure that I make money and make a business decision here.
We're given points so far in our first four. Cardinals, $25. We're given $2.5. Cincinnati, $25. We're given $1.5. Baltimore, $40. We're given $5.5. And Minnesota, $30. We're given $3.
Let's see where you're at with this one, okay?
All right.
Denver's looked like hot garbage all year, and now Russell Wilson's dinged up. He said he's going to play. He's trying to, as he always does, he's going to try and oversell the fact that he's healthy and ready to go. He's taken out a Chargers team that has a really good defense, a really good pass rush, and the fact that you're playing at home with an offense that's ready to roll. Keenan Allen will be even healthier. He's coming back for some injuries. But I just believe Herbert's the guy, and Herbert's the guy that's going to make sure that Denver's not going to be the team that gets in their way. Divisional game means a little bit more. I know they're giving up 4.5 at home. I don't think that's any concern of mine. I'll take the Chargers to beat the Broncos.
4.5 doesn't sound too crazy, right? As bad as Denver has been, like Denver's record's better than their overall production, I feel like. The Russell Wilson injury, they said he's been dealing with it all year, so
shoulder.
I expect to see the same Russell Wilson that we've seen
which
all
is
season.
Fine.
Which is not good. I mean, Russell Wilson is not.
If you're taking the Chargers side of this, you want to see the same Russell Wilson.
Denver's defense has been a little bit better. I think the Chargers are disappointing, honestly. I think under Brandon Staley, they've been a disappointment. The fact that they missed the playoffs last year under Brandon Staley is a failure in my mind. That's especially considering they lost to the Texans late in the year. One of the big reasons that kept him out of the postseason. He makes quirky decisions. He does weird things.
His fourth down decision making could be to blame for a ton of the negativity that whole team faces.
Yeah, I still like the Chargers in this game. I just don't feel like Denver's
How much
on the same playing field as the
Chargers. We agree, so how much?
I had the Chargers winning this game by, where did it go? I had the Chargers winning this game by 10. They're giving 4.5 points. So I feel pretty safe about it. I'm willing to go up to 30, 40 bucks, you call
it. I was thinking 40.
All right, I'm willing to put 40 bucks. That's a Monday Night Football game, too, which we know we love to sweat a little Monday Night Football.
Well, then we can promote it on Monday where we're sitting and if we can either get more money or try to save face.
All right, so we went 5 favorites so far. We're getting points in all of those, which is kind of scary. How about an underdog? Just to throw in a little bit of a wrinkle here. Switch it up a little bit. Kansas City is a home dog. Now, they're playing the Buffalo Bills, so you can understand that. But Kansas City, look, I look at Kansas City and Buffalo as the best two teams in the AFC. I think Arrowhead Stadium, one of the best stadiums in the NFL. Kansas City's getting 2.5 points at home against the Buffalo Bills. I think Kansas City's going to win this game outright. Quentin over sales guy Q, who's a big Chiefs fan, he's saying stay
How
away.
Can you tell? Since he's got his koozie.
He's got a Casey
with the
koozie.
Chiefs logo on it.
See, this is always difficult. Like,
who carries their own koozie, by the way.
Listening to the fans of the teams, because like I think you are always very good with Green Bay. Like whenever you tell me what side of Green Bay to bet, you're more times than not right. The opposite of that is Brendan. When Brendan says to bet Detroit, they always fail to cover the spread.
Like 29-0 against New England.
And when he says don't bet Detroit, they always cover the spread. So it's always like two opposite ends of a spectrum.
See, that home field advantage for me is big with Kansas City.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that they're at home for one, and then they're getting points at home in a rematch.
Yeah.
I know the Bills are trying to send a message and make a statement, but this game at Kansas City with Kansas City trying to prove a lot too, I like the fact they're getting points.
Look, I think Buffalo wins this game on a neutral field. Bad Arrowhead. It's a week six in the regular season. Like, it doesn't have the stakes like last year in the playoffs in a game that Kansas City actually beat the Buffalo Bills in that contest. Look, I like Kansas City.
Now, how bad do you like them? Because I'm willing to go with you on this, but I just need to know for what dollar amount. I don't want to go, like, crazy on this.
Well, Q just shook his head, which makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable, to be honest with you, being a Kansas City
fan. You don't
fan.
Like your boys to win?
So I feel like we should probably go.
That's why I like it. If anybody that's a true fan is concerned about this game, I like that.
I feel like we should go low, though, because
that's
he
fine.
Gave me a little bit of a call. You want to go 20, 25?
20.
$20, Kansas City Chiefs to beat Buffalo. Actually, we're getting 2.5 points for Kansas City. I wish we could play the money line, but we can't do that on BZ Money. I feel like we got a good couple
like
of games
it.
Here. Now, we also bet every single one of the games that we called on. Like, usually it's Brendan that doesn't allow us to have this sort of volume. We just played six games. We have a good opportunity this week to earn back some of this Mr. Gow money that we've lost.
If it works, Fluffy will come back from his extended vacation and have nothing to say ever again about anything that we do. Geppetto will be buried if we come out strong this week.
We just put $180 on the line.
Oof.
Yeah. We can get pretty close back to the $1,000 if we sweep.
Hector
we
on Twitch says, on text says Packers are on the decline. His texts have been on decline for like about 6 months, so it's call it a push.
All right, that's BZ Money. We hope that we don't. We hope that we give you some winners with some BZ Money this week. We haven't been great at it though. All right, Dusty Baker. We thought he managed really well in Game One. How did he manage in Game Two? Let's take a look at some of the Dusty's decisions from yesterday's game. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing you can never question is Fidelity Fuels. They're a wholesale supplier and distributor of petroleum products. And look, if you're a construction manager, if you're a trucking company, you're an oil field pro, industrial worker, farmer, or any type of fleet fueling, Fidelity Fuels wants to partner with you, and you should want to partner with them as well. Emergency response is an area that they can help. Hurricanes, we get that in Houston. We get floods in Houston. We got a freeze in Houston. So you probably have a generator to cover that, but do you have fuel lined up for that generator? You got to think about that, and Fidelity Fuels can make sure that you're prepared. How can they help trucking companies? Efficiency, simple. Keep your drivers out of the truck stops and have more control of your fuel spending. Are you tired of paying retail prices for your DEF? Well, let Fidelity drop a tote right in your yard, saving you time and money. Need solvent for crude or asphalt cleanup? From tools to terminal storage tanks, Fidelity offers a variety of solvents to meet your exact need. Fidelity Fuels can help on the construction side as well. Mobile tank for on-site fuel storage and delivery to fill up those dirt movers. That really helps out. They come to you or whatever else that you need fueled. Fidelity Fuels works around the clock, 24/7, 365, WBE, SBE, DBE, and Hub certified. So if you're looking for a partner from municipal contracts or to fulfill your company's diversity goals, Fidelity can help. Reliable deliveries and competitive pricing, that's Fidelity Fuels. Call now at 877-938-FUEL, 877-938-3835, or check them out online at FidelityFuels.com. That's FidelityFuels.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Game 3 of the ALDS between your Houston Astros and division rival Seattle Mariners is on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Jordan Alvarez, 37 home runs in season, 97 RBIs, a pitch swing, and there's a high fly left field. Driven back, now it's headed for the Crawford boxes, and it's gone!
First pitch Saturday at 3:07. Hear every single pitch, homer, and big play on your home for the 2022 World Series. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live at Drift in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. While we're on the air, 97.5 Beer Bucket Special. Five domestic beers for $20 during the broadcast. We'll be here until 3. They opened up early for us. The Will House will be here until 7. This is your official LSU alumni watch party. Happy hour every day at 8. $6 ranch waters. Can't beat that.
I mean, you could if you could talk, but, I mean, you might need a ranch water to wash that whatever you got going on right now down. This place is amazing. I love the Drift Bar. The weather is just absolutely outstanding. It's perfect. They opened early for us, for you. You should come hang out. Stay all the way through the Wheelhouse and more. You got baseball all day, all night. You've got unbelievable weather. You got these garage doors that come up so the wind and the air flows freely through the place. It's clean. It's fun. And, oh, by the way, good people watching, too. So it's everything and more that you could ever ask for if you were going out for a few adult beverages to watch some sports, hang out, and do some people watching.
I put in a cough drop, and it went down my throat funny.
The first time you've used that excuse.
Is it not?
Okay.
What else would I use that excuse for? I'm curious.
I'll let the listeners take it from there. Just keep going. 713-780-3776 if you want to give Jeremy your ideas. Go ahead.
What do we think about Dusty Baker's decisions yesterday? Carlos Correa was on the studio show.
Yes, he was.
yesterday. Here was Correa interviewing Jeremy Pena. This is one thing that I think Dusty Baker does a really good job at that sometimes we don't give him enough credit for.
Oh.
Jeremy, Carlos Correa here. Good to see you, papi. Great game. So Dusty, he's a great manager, as we all know, and he's got you hitting behind an MVP and behind a guy that's going to get a lot of MVP votes this year in Jordan Alvarez. How good does it make you feel that in your first year in the league, you have a manager that trusts your talent, your abilities to hit in the middle of both these guys?
You said it perfect. You know, Dusty Baker brings out the best in all his players. You know, he's given me all the confidence in the world. You know, and he trusts me to get the job done, and you can't ask more of a manager.
See, I think that's where Dusty, sometimes we don't give him the credit for. Carlos Correa mentioned it, showing the trust in players. Jeremy Pena mentioned it, that he knows he has the trust of Dusty, and that allows a player to have freedom. You're not worrying in the back of your mind, man, I'm going to get benched. I'm going to get moved down in the lineup. I think what Dusty Baker does in the clubhouse, like we'll question the in-game decision. That's going to happen, especially in the playoffs. We're going to question lineups, things like that. One of the things that Dusty Baker, maybe it's the thing that Dusty Baker does better than anything else, he handles the clubhouse really well.
This is where I think that, as it relates to even the Yuli situation during the course of the regular season, no matter what the media thought, no matter what we thought, the fans thought, and everything else, Yuli every day had confidence because he knew what Dusty thought. And I think Pena feels the same way. Correa obviously felt the same way. It doesn't matter what everybody else says you should be doing. It doesn't matter what, you know, you the fan base or others think already should have been done. If you're in Pawpaw's belly, if that gut feeling that Pawpaw has is all in support of you, no matter what anybody else thinks, he's going to do what he's going to do, and he's going to play you. And in this case, he made that move. It was a ballsy move at the time that a lot of people like us questioned. They put him in a two-hole. We wondered if that's the right spot for him. It's worked out. It continues to work out. And now even in the playoffs at the most important time of the season, it didn't look like a smart move as it started the playoffs in game one because of the fact that he looked really, really anxious and swung a lot of first pitches in his first couple of bats. It's worked out ever since. It's continuing to work out. And the one thing you know is, just like Yuli, Pena knows coming to the ballpark every day, my manager's got my back. He loves me. He's going to put me in the best position to succeed, even if no one else thinks it's the right position for me to be in.
Look, I think overall Dusty did fine yesterday. And, like, bullpen usage is always going to be something that we talk about. My thought on bullpen usage in the playoffs, if it works out, even if it's quirky, it's hard for you to say anything because you still come away with a victory. Like unless it's putting you in a tough spot going forward, you can't really say anything. And nothing that Dusty did yesterday is putting the Astros in a tough spot going forward. So overall, I thought Dusty did fine. I would applaud him more after game one than game two. A couple of the questionable decisions that you could look at, going Hector Neris for Fromber was against the grain, and it worked out.
Boy, I held my breath a little bit.
Because you're turning Raleigh around, and Raleigh's better against lefties, or he's better against righties than he is lefties.
Yep, that one basically made me hold my breath a little bit going, are you sure you know what you're doing here? Because this dude from that side of the plate has been a monster so far. I don't know that you want to do this. Neris, and again, and the other thing is, this is Neris's first playoff appearance. Remember how juiced he was to make the playoffs. He might have been overjuiced getting ready to get into that game where I had a lot of concern about that, but it worked out. So like you said, you know, tip your cap to Dusty on that,
one. That was one where in the moment, though, I was good with the decision. Because there's something like, okay, in the moment, you're like, I don't love that decision. And there's a couple that I didn't love that we'll get to here in just a second. The reason that I didn't hate the decision there and was okay with it and was good with it, I felt like Fromber was done.
I felt
like he was out of gas.
But me, more so than – I don't disagree with you, but more so than that, mentally, he was overcooking.
Right.
Like, he was boiling right now, and boiling Fromber is not a good guy to have on the mound for you in a tough situation because I think he loses focus and he loses his control, and that's what's been a problem for him throughout the early stages of his career too. That's why I was okay with the move as well.
How about Abreu in the seventh, getting a couple outs there?
You know, the one big out was Julio Rodriguez. I mean, the fact that I give him his flowers when due, and you know what? And I think this was another way, too, of Dusty setting the table for later on in this playoff run, putting him in a different situation and seeing how he responded. He responded. I mean, I give him credit for it. I'm not. You know me, and I think the listeners know me. I'm not sure I would have made the same move with the same guy, but the fact that it worked out and you got him another game experience that will help and benefit him later on down the line was another win for the Astros.
I was surprised they used Abreu in that spot, more so because, and this was one that I tweeted about, I love Brian Abreu, and I didn't like using him in that spot.
You thought you'd use him later?
No, I didn't think you'd use him at all. I thought he was going to be sat down for the day after he threw 30-something pitches in game one. Huh. Like, they've kind of re-ranked the hierarchy of the bullpen. Like, there wasn't Stanek in that spot. Instead, you had Brian Abreu in that spot. And some people would say, well, it was because of the lefties, back-to-back lefties. What Brian Abreu did in that inning that I despised, now he made up for it by punching out Julio Rodriguez, he walked J.P. Crawford, the nine-hole hitter.
He sure did.
You can't afford to walk the nine-hole hitter. So I was shocked to see Brian Abreu in a really high-leverage spot 2 days after he threw 30-something pitches in game one.
Yeah, no, I think that you saw Montero come back to get when he was warming up, I was like, why is he warming up? But I you forget that they had the day off in between. But you can see right away who Dusty is starting to lean to become the next Phil Maton, guys that, you know, or the Daily Rayleigh, the guys that he loves no matter what you think or do or say that he's going to go to. And it worked out for him. So, you know what? The bigger thing to me was why Stanek never touched a baseball.
Yeah.
Now, if that's just an illness and you want to make sure he's at full strength and has his full strength back about him, fine. But we never heard it was an illness. We don't know if that was him. And it is a little bit perplexing that you can say he was ready, Dusty, post-game. But then
he was in the pen, though.
But if he was in the pen, then he should have been warming up.
So it's interesting to me that they have not used Stanek to this point. And, I mean, he just came off the year when he had the best relief ERA.
He's got a 1.15. That's why you would at least have him warmed up, ready to go.
He had, I mean, best bullpen ERA for Ryan Stanek in franchise history. So, like, he's just set that record. Now, there Stanek can pitch himself into trouble, though. Like, the whip, like, we look at the whip, the ERA was the very, very best. But Stanek does give up walks
and
things like that.
You know, I always say 4 pitches in, you can tell what kind of outing you're going to get from Stanek. Now, this year he pitched his way out of even those type outings. But in the playoffs, it's a different story, and there's not as much leeway to be able to wiggle out of it.
Yeah, so not using Stanek is interesting. I'm not going to blame Baker at all for the bullpen usage. I liked Neris for the out in the sixth inning. I was questioning the Abreu in the seventh inning, but it kind of worked out for you. And then he went Montero inning in a third, fine. And then Ryan Pressly, you're going to use Ryan Pressly in a closeout situation, a safe situation. And Pressly was probably a little bit more stressly than Pressly yesterday.
I'm glad he had that extra run to play with because I kind of almost expected it. I felt like he hadn't been used in so long that I didn't expect to see pinpoint Ryan Pressly.
Let's get into a couple more of the Dusty decisions. What issues did you have with Dusty's managing yesterday? Do you think he got some things right? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If you're looking to bet some baseball, the place to do it's betus.com. you look to bet some NFL on Sunday, BetUS.com. College football tomorrow, BetUS.com. They're back for their 28th year of NFL action, the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%. BetUS offers their members the opportunity to cash in on all of your favorite leagues. We just mentioned a bunch of them, NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, NBA's right around the corner, or you can bet some preseason NBA action if you want to. BetUS also has hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest European slots. And if you like the table games, they got live dealers waiting for you at those tables. You need a sportsbook with integrity and longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You need a sportsbook that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets in your favorite parlays. Call today at 1-800-79-BETUS. That's 1-800-79-BETUS, and they'll walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gets better bonuses than BETUS. Join now, mention 97.5, and you can get up to 200% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. Head to BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5. Game 3 of the ALDS between your Houston Astros and division rival Seattle Mariners is on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yordan Alvarez, 37 home runs in season, 97 RBIs. The pitch swing, and there's a high fly left field. Driven back. Now it's headed for the Crawford boxes, and it's gone!
First pitch Saturday at 3:07. Hear every single pitch, homer, and big play on your home for the 2022 World Series. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. Live from Drift Bar, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live at Drift in the Heights, 1207 West 20th. They opened up early for us. Great happy hour specials. Also, the Wheelhouse will be here until 7. Looking for a place to watch baseball today. Yankees game is on against the Guardians. I always have to be careful to say Guardians. Guardians just scratched a run, so they cut that lead in half.
Come on, Cleveland.
The other two games will be on tonight. If you're looking for the LSU, place to watch some LSU football, this is the official LSU alumni watch party every Saturday. Great place to watch the game. They also have a 250-inch screen on the south patio. Dog-friendly, high tides, good vibes. Great spot to have a drink. Great spot to watch some baseball. Great spot to watch a little bit of football as well. We were talking about the Dusty Baker decision. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. People weighing in on this. We'll get to that in a moment. But a few of the other things I think you can look at that you can talk about, you can question. One of the things that I thought was a mistake was letting Martin Maldonado bat to lead off the sixth inning. That's a spot where they were down a run. This was before the Yordan Alvarez home run. In fact, that was the inning that Yordan Alvarez hit the home run. Martin Maldonado led off the inning. You had Maldonado, Altuve, and Peña do up. I feel like that's a spot where you want Yordan Alvarez to bat with a runner on base in the sixth inning. Now, it turned out Peña got you there with a little bloop single. Yordan hits the home run. I feel like late in the game, and I think the sixth inning is late enough, especially when Framber Valdez was already pulled out of the game. Your starter is pulled. You're down by a run. This is an at-bat that you need. Like, you can't just give away that at-bat anymore. That's a spot where Christian Vasquez, in my mind, should have pinch hit for Martin Maldonado.
Yeah, and it's a little slipperier because this is the only other catcher you got. But I'm with you 100%. I think that the key that I was going to bring up that you touched on was Fromber's already out of the game. I get it if you still need someone to manage the psyche of Framber Valdez if he's in the game. But if he's out and you're playing from behind in the last 3 to 4 innings of a game, and the ace is still in with a very reasonably low pitch count, you have to understand you can't pass on any opportunity to get something started and get something done. And no matter, like I said, no matter if Altuve's had a hit in the series or not, if you know there's a runner on base, everybody's a little bit concerned if Jose Altuve's coming to the dish, and they play it a little differently. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you that I would at least have thought long and hard about putting Vasquez in that game, because I think that you already know at this point Maldi has already come back to the norm and regressed to the point where he's basically an out waiting to happen yet again, especially when you're facing the best pitcher on the other team.
See, that was a spot where he went defense over offense down by a run in the sixth inning. And then later in the game, and I don't have really a huge issue with this, but he picked offense over defense whenever he was up a run, whenever he pinch hit Hensley for Myers, which, I mean, pretty telling there. But the Astros, whenever he pinch hit Hensley for Myers, they were now leading by a run. Yeah. So he went offense over defense because we think Jake Myers is the better defensive center fielder over Mauricio Dubon, over Chaz McCormick. I was surprised that he pinch hit for Jake in that spot because they were leading by a run, and all of a sudden that takes your best defensive center fielder out of the game.
I wasn't, only because of the fact that I expected the double move and I expected Dubon to be thrown
sure.
in there. And I know that, again, when we start talking about Pawpaw's belly and the fact that if Dusty gets a gut feeling, Dusty's gut feeling is that he personally, even though you and I think both disagree with this, he personally believes Dubon is as good a defensive center fielder as Jake Myers.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge misstep on his point, from his point of view, but I believe he believes that. And so, therefore, I thought the minute that I saw the pinch hitter coming up, I'm like, that's cool, but that means that he's going to put Dubon in center field.
Now, it was a pretty big spot, so I don't have an issue with it. Like, I'm not going to die on that hill, because if you get a base hit there, then you score a run. There was a runner in scoring position, so it's like you need that insurance. But it was interesting that he picked offense over defense up a run, but in the sixth inning with Maldonado, he picked defense over offense down a run. Of those two, I think that the bigger sin is not pinch hitting Maldonado in the sixth inning.
I would agree with that. I mean, he's an out waiting to happen right now, and you're, like you said, playing from behind later in a game against Castillo, who's dealing for the most part, you have to try and get something started, and you can't wait till the very last minute like they did in game one.
Now, one of the other things, too, about the Hensley at-bat, it's interesting to me because all you need is a base hit there. You have a runner in scoring position. You're trying to get an insurance run. You're trying to take a two-run lead. Look, I like Hensley, so I really don't have an issue with it. I'm just bringing it up as a topic of conversation. It is interesting to me that of the options you had there, you had Jake Myers, who was due up. You have Chaz McCormick, who started in center field game one. You have Hensley, who a lot of people think is the last position player on this team, the 14th position player on your 14 position player roster. You also have Trey Mancini over there. But, so you had those four options to get a base hit, and Dusty Baker told you, actions speak louder than words, that he trusts David Hensley to get a base hit of all four of those guys.
Can I ask you who you would have gone to?
I think David Hensley.
Would you?
I think so.
I would not.
I think so.
I would have gone to Chaz. And the reason why I say that, because it easily...
All you need is a single.
I understand all you need is a single.
Yeah.
But because you're going against a guy that brings a ton of heat and a plus-plus fastball, I think Chaz is already trying to take the ball to right field.
True.
I think that Chaz could be late and turn that into something great, as opposed to, look, the one thing I think we could both agree on, the last guy you're going to see up there is Mancini, because he's not going to be able to catch up with that fastball, especially the way he's hitting. And boom or bust is not going to fit in that role and that where
agreed.
You needed it.
Agreed.
So I'm with you that it would be, to me, I can see it being either Hensley and or I would have gone to Chaz, and I'd have been okay. But, yeah, I mean, you can tell right away, to your point, that Dusty, when he starts getting guys in, there's the doghouse and there's the clubhouse. And right now, there is a nice, warm, fluffy recliner sitting there for Hensley whenever he wants it.
713-780-ESPN. It was telling, though, that he trusts Hensley to get a base hit more than Jake, more than Chaz, more than Trey. And I don't know if I necessarily disagree with him. 713-780-3776. Ocho says, y'all know I've been a big fan of Montero all season, but he's become erratic, so the thrill is gone. I don't know why Dusty was thinking by extending him yesterday. He did have some nervous moments.
Yep.
In his inning in the third. A bunch of three-ball counts, which always drive me crazy, but I mean, he got the job done.
He did, and again, we would be looking at this totally differently if the results were different, and we would have probably be hyper-scrutinizing it. But because he pushed all the right buttons and they worked out, you go with it. You just wonder, how does this play, and again, like to your Hensley point, how does this play into Dusty's making decisions later on as we get deeper into the playoffs? Because you got to believe that he's going to still play with the same gut feelings that he's had. I would tell you that if nothing's physically wrong with Stanek, other than maybe he had gotten a bug, I think Stanek plays into whatever would have happened and whatever he does going forward if the same situation arises.
713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line. Scott says Dusty can't make the relievers throw strikes. Here's the issue I have with that, though. You're bringing in pitchers where you know their tendencies. You know their numbers. So, like,
it's reliability.
Yeah, so, like, you can't make the pitchers throw strikes, but it's kind of the probability of it. Like, you know which pitchers more times than not do. You know what more times than not they don't. So, like, Montero, I guess, is somebody that you probably were alluding to, 8253, who walked a couple of hitters yesterday. He's prone to the walk. Brian Abreu, he walked one. I think it was a criminal thing that he did, walking the nine-hole hitter whenever you're in to face 8-9, a couple of lefties because they like him against lefties. You can't walk a nine-hole hitter in a playoff game right. Whenever you're up by a run. I love Brian Abreu, and he punched out Julio Rodriguez, made up for it. Walking the nine-hole in that spot was criminal. Dusty Baker knows that Brian Abreu is prone to a walk. That's the biggest issue with his pitching, is that his command at times can be troublesome. Now, a lot of people point to Ryan Stanek. Why didn't they use Ryan Stanek? He has the worst lack of command. I know his ERA was fantastic, but he has trouble with his command as well. So I know Dusty can't force pitchers to throw strikes, but he knows which pitchers can more times than not.
This is the Jeremy Joel internal battle in the Hive always, because you're a Abreu believer, and I'm a more of a Stanek believer. But I think,
well, I don't know if I believe Abreu more than Stanek, though. I do believe in Abreu, but I'm not sure I'm putting Abreu
over Stanek. But I think both guys have the ability to create trouble for themselves. And that's something that worries me in both regards, and I wish that we could change that. Because I think I don't want it to, but again, yesterday, all I could think about sitting on my couch fretting over Abreu in the game is, this is the moment I warned everybody about all season long. I didn't care what he did in the regular season and if he was effective against bad teams or doing whatever he did to put the numbers up that he did. These are the ones that concern me. When it means the most, when it's in the hyper, you know, stressful situation in a playoff battle, that would scare me. Stanek's the same way. But, you know, you got to take the guys that you trust the most and go to war with them and then take the result, whatever happens. He's getting more and more confidence in Abreu.
Yeah.
I just want to have some kind of an answer other than Dusty feeding us a line of BS about, you know, Stanek was available yesterday. Something was wrong there. I hope it was just the flu.
It could be. Maybe he is a little bit under the weather. Maybe he just doesn't like the matchups. I think that they really like Abreu against lefties, which is why he was in 8-9-1, because you go lefty-lefty Julio Rodriguez. Plus, he's been really good all year. Now, I am surprised that he was used yesterday after throwing 30-something pitches in Game 1, and I am surprised that Abreu all of a sudden has become a much more higher leverage pitcher in the postseason than what we saw all of the regular season. 4683 on the HRP listener line. Dusty could have also double switched and had Vasquez pinch hit for Myers in the spot where he went to Hensley and then brought Dubon, McCormick, whoever in Maldonado's spot in the lineup. That is an option too. I feel like Dusty, whenever he was up a run, didn't want to burn his backup catcher in case there's a spot late in the game there. But you can throw it. Like we just had the conversation. You need one guy to get a base hit in that spot. He chose Hensley over, at minimum, Jake, Chaz, and Trey Mancini.
Mancini.
You could mention Vasquez in that conversation, which if Dusty's going to Hensley over Vasquez to get a base hit, pretty telling on how they feel about Hensley.
Yeah, I mean, look, and that worries me just a little bit in the fact that I always said in the final 30 days of the season, you know, when there's nothing to play for, it concerns me a little that could be a proving point and something that tells Dusty all he needs to know about who he's going to go to in the playoffs. Now, I get it. Hensley got hit, or he walked, or a combination of the two got him on first base in Game 1 to set the table for Yordan. But at the same time, I don't think that should be the end-all, be-all, tell-all of when you use Hensley in games against the likes of experienced major league hitters that have proven to you they can get big timely hits, especially a Vasquez that's been there, done that with the Red Sox, and you should have all the confidence in the world could get you a single. He's not been an extra base hitter since he's been with the Astros, but you know he can hit singles and he can hit forever.
And that's all you need in that spot,
because
you have a runner at second. I mean, you're just looking for that base hit. I'm going to give Dusty the benefit of the doubt in that spot and say that Vasquez was not an option because he didn't want to burn his backup catcher up a run. He wants to do that when he's down late in the game. I think this was an example of Dusty using Hensley because Hensley gave him a good at-bat in Game 1. Like, this was Dusty's way of, hey, this young kid helped us out. I'm going to, one, reward him, and if he's hot, I want to play the hot hand. It's kind of a heat check, like to borrow a basketball term.
And I think that, you know, as it relates to, you know, multiple young guys, I think that you have to go with what you've seen lately and then play it off accordingly. I don't think that Hensley did anything because he didn't look overmatched at the plate, and he's facing, you know, one of the very best in the game in a very big situation. He didn't look like the moment was too big for him.
He didn't.
So I think he'll get more opportunities. On the flip side, and I know I totally agree with you that, you know, he set up Jake to fail in a lot of ways, but Jake just choke up on the bat, look like you can make contact, do some things so that you can try and extend the at-bat, you know, spit on a pitch or two, do what you need to do so that you can still live to see another day. The way he looked like he was just defeated and just kind of dropped the head and walked back to the dugout twice, I don't know if I want to see Jake. That's why I had concerns when we talked about it yesterday, starting him this early in the playoffs, and like you said, and then starting him against their ace. You could have set him up in a different scenario later on in a series. Like I said, if you're up 2-0 and you start Jake, I know you're on the road, and that might play in a little bit too.
Yeah.
But I'd rather see Jake on the road against another young kid that, as opposed to putting him in the situation you did.
I think we'll see Jake in the starting lineup again in the playoffs.
Not in game three.
But I don't think we should.
I agree with you.
I think that Jake Meyer's opportunity to be a starter should not happen again unless there's some sort of injury. Like I don't mind keeping him on the roster, late inning defensive replacement. I don't want to see him start again.
I could not agree more. I didn't want to see him start yesterday. And I thought that, especially with Chaz getting one hit in game one, that was enough for me to keep him in the lineup. There's a time and a place for everybody. And in this lineup, I could see moving on in a seven-game series in the league championship series that Dubon doesn't even sit there on the roster because your defensive replacement is the guy that you believe is your center fielder of the future in Jake. But Jake shouldn't – could not agree more. Jake should not start another game for this team the way they are and where they're going.
If you get to the ALCS, you probably do keep one more pitcher over one more position player. It would be interesting who that position player would be.
I think
that's
Dubon
not on
should
it.
Just
– I think it's probably down to – I think Hensley's already – I think Hensley's submitted
I think he's
his
on
spot.
It. I agree.
I think Hensley submitted his spot. I think the decision comes to Dubon Myers.
I actually agree with that.
713-780-ESPN. I don't know why that's a shock to you. 713-780.
Did I agree with you?
Yeah.
I think you know.
713-780-3776. We got into the bullpen there a little bit. How about the Astros having the bullpen as a weapon? How about the importance of Yuli Gurriel in the series? And are we worried at all about Jose Altuve? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you again about my bookie. Another big weekend of sports all over the place. Sports aplenty. We've got baseball all day and all night today. And we've got nothing but college football on Saturday, pro football on Sunday. Lots of games to get involved in. Even if it's not your favorite team, you want to make the most uninteresting game more interesting, you go to mybookie.ag. It's the place I always tell you to go because they take care of their customers. You want to play in Bitcoin? Well, I don't know if you would or not, but if you want to, they'll take it. Credit cards, they'll make sure they're accommodating to their customers. Right now, they're doing it in a lot of ways yet again. One of the ways they're doing it is the prop builder. You don't like the over-under. You don't like the point spread. Maybe you like a team stat or an individual stat. You want to bet on that. Well, with the prop builder, you can do just that at mybookie.ag. And the way they always take care of their customers that they're doing yet again, double your next deposit up to $1,000. That's right. Use the promo code BET975 when you log into mybookie.ag. And almost immediately, you're going to put $200 in your account. You'll see $400 in your account because they take care of you and they put you in a position where you have more money in your account, more games to bet on, and, of course, with that, more chances to win. That's why I always encourage you, if you're going to put money on a game and make the most uninteresting game more interesting, do it at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code BET975, and like I said, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Live from Drift Bar for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live at Drift Bar in the Heights, 1207 West 20th, 97.5. Beer Bucket Special, 5 beers, $20 during the broadcast. This is your place to watch the NFL. Come watch your fantasy team. They'll make sure that they have a game, the game that you want to watch on any one of these TVs here. They also have the biggest two TVs in the Heights, 250-inch screen on the south patio, dog-friendly. It is the official LSU alumni watch party every Saturday. Come hang out with us until 3. Wheelhouse will be here until 7. They also have their Monday to Friday happy hour until 8 p.m.
Can't beat that. I can't say enough good things about this place. It's just, if you want to go to a place that's the ideal spot because the weather's perfect and you know, they can open up these garage doors and it's like the free-flowing air going through here. It's clean. It's friendly. As you mentioned, you can bring the dogs, but the people watching is fantastic. Inside, outside, it gives you everything that you could ask for in a sports bar.
Yeah, it is a great spot. 713-780-ESPN asked going to break. Are you worried about Jose Altuve? Altuve so far, 2 games, 0-for-8, hitless. He did have the walk in game one, scored a run. What do you feel about Jose Altuve, hitless so far going into game three?
His buzzer's waiting.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean by that?
That sounds like something Seattle would say.
I'm saying right now, he doesn't need a buzzer. It's what I mean by that is, on the road, he absolutely thrives when the road crowd gets all over him. And I think it'll dial him in. I think he'll go to Seattle. They'll be riding him all up and down from the first time he steps in the on-deck circle. And he'll be like, oh, I'm home now. I feel good. And I think he'll dial in, and I think he'll get a knock or two in game three, and he'll be on his way. I never am going to doubt Jose Altuve. I believe that the benefit of all of this is you've done what you've done to get a 2-0 lead without needing him. Because at a certain point down the road, you know you're going to need him, and there's nothing that in my mind believes that he will be there when you need it.
4683 on the text line. Not worried about Altuve. His bat will wake up at the right time. I feel like you do, Blinkers. I feel like the texter says Jose Altuve is Jose Altuve. He's been one of the more clutch Houston athletes of all time. He's going to come through with some big hits. He's going to come through with some big spots. If anything, I'm encouraged that the Astros are up 2-0 when Verlander was awful and when Jose Altuve's been hitless.
Like, that's what I said, offensively and from a defensive and pitching perspective. You're up 2-0 in a series, and you haven't needed him offensively. Now, defensively, he's been great, and I think that's something we worried about in the past. Now, his throwing arm isn't a rocket, but you know what? It never was. But the fact that he made the two plays that he made gives him more confidence. And like I said, I think he will absolutely eat up the fact that on the road he will have the entire building rooting against him. And that's when he normally focuses in. Think Fenway. Think Yankee Stadium. And what does he do? He gets into a zone where he's just concentrating more on his at-bats per pitch, and I think he's going to excel at that point.
Key from L.A., today's my one-year anniversary here in Houston. Thank you guys for the good times and laughter. The show is great. And then he said, go Dodgers.
He always has to end it on a downer.
Yeah, we had you until that last part there, Key.
Good to have you in town, Key.
Yeah, it is. 5030, worrying about Altuve is ridiculous unless he's hurt. I don't think anybody's really worried about Altuve. If you're the one that is worried about Altuve, let us know. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You mentioned the Jose Altuve play, the Jose Altuve twice, back-to-back. I mean, one was to end the inning with Julio Rodriguez. The next one was to start the inning with Ty France. The importance of Yuli Gurriel is showing in this series. And look, at times I've been very low on Yuli Gurriel during the regular season. Did not have a good regular season. But Dusty Baker stuck with him. Dusty Baker might have been the only one in the city that believed in Yuli Gurriel and that he would help the Astros in the playoffs. Game one, he helped the Astros in the playoffs because he had three hits and he also hit a home run. Yesterday, he was hitless, but he still helped the Houston Astros. Those two Jose Altuve plays, those weren't easy scoops. No, those weren't easy picks.
I mentioned it earlier. I think it's one thing to say you can get the glove in the dirt and dig a ball out. But when you're getting that really quick short hop that really comes up, gets up on you in a hurry, that's a really tough play for first baseman to make. Dare I say, and you may disagree with me, Trey Mancini doesn't make that short hop play, I don't think. I think that you have to have a really skilled, very, very solid glove hand at first base to be able to pick a ball like that and make that play. And I think that as much as we gave a lot of credit to Altuve for both plays and well-deserved, that's why early on I mentioned you got to give Yuli almost as much credit because he made both plays look very, very easy, and those were tough plays, especially the second one.
Yeah, the hits in game one, three of them, hit a bomb, got himself a Yuli dong, showed his importance in game one, and then the defense he brings you to. Even though like his numbers weren't great this year defensively, he showed you that he's still one of the best pickers in the game. And I don't think that the play in the ninth inning, the double play, Eric texted in, how about that DP from Yuli and the smile to the base runner? I thought it was more of a smile to the dugout, but he did crack a little bit of a smile.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, I don't think that was a difficult play.
No.
But still, you can trust Yuli over there, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it was a difficult play, but I think that he knew that it just took a whole lot of edge off the entire building, the dugout, and the lineup because – Presley didn't look like he was as sharp as he normally is. And, he doesn't get to that ball, and you got a whole lot of trouble on your hands. And so the fact that I think he kind of, for everybody, took the edge off and took that big sigh of relief by having a little fun in the matter. But thank goodness he was there to make that play.
Yeah, that was a big play in the outcome of it because it was Ryan Stresley yesterday.
Yep.
You have Adam Frazier that walks on four pitches. And maybe he was a little bit of rust here, but you have a two-run lead. You have the 8-9 spots coming up, and you walk Frazier on four
pitches.
That's
my thing.
Criminal.
Yes, because that's my thing. Like, you have a two-run lead, not a one-run lead.
Yeah.
So if you're down in the count, start throwing it more over the middle of the plate.
Every pitch should have been middle.
Find something at that point so that he has to earn it. Even the best hitters, 3 out of 10 get hits and get on base. So guess what? Make him earn it. Don't give him the free pass.
And then Julio hit that double, too, right after that lineout. Yes. That really made you grateful of that lineout double play. But how about this bullpen? So far in the first two games of this series, not too often in Astros playoff runs, have you had a bullpen where you feel like you can kind of rely on? And this bullpen, one run over 8 1/3, and you haven't even used Stanek, who had your best bullpen ERA in the history of this franchise.
Right. Yeah, no, look, I think you you can give credit to a lot of people for a lot of things. And you can say, well, Dusty pushed the right buttons. But the guys that he called on did their job. And that's all you can ask for. And that's what I was harping on all season long when I said I had concerns about this bullpen. It wasn't about the regular season. It was about the playoffs. If they keep doing this, then you know what? I'll say I was wrong, that they didn't need to get any bullpen help. And obviously Will Smith wasn't that guy that I wanted anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that overall, if these guys keep doing what they're doing, living up to their regular season numbers, and again, the big thing to me is, and you'll have Ryan Stanek at some point, you're in a great position because the numbers don't lie to you in the regular season. If that translates and moves over to the playoffs, and no matter who he calls on can continue to do what they've been doing, then the Astros are just in a great position, not only for the American League, but as it relates to taking on a Dodgers or a Braves or whoever they might face in the National League.
See, I think Will Smith will be on the roster if the Astros get to the ALCS, because now you're playing 7 games in 8 days, and there's not really another arm that you – like, it would be maybe Maton, but that he has a broken pinky, he's not an option.
And you know how much Dusty loves having a lefty.
Yep.
And you know situationally he wants to have that in his back pocket as an option to go to. And I think that's why, again, I don't disagree with you. I'm sure he's been throwing. I'm sure he'll be ready, and I think he'll be considered.
713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Drift in the Heights, 1207 West 20th Street. Get on down here. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. Will House will be following us up, though, until 7 o'clock. All right, something we do every Friday at 2 o'clock. Who said it? We listen to some quotes from ESPN's 97.5 personalities. Blakers and I have to guess who said it. See how we do. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. Something that you never have to worry about doing well is Fidelity Fuels. They're a wholesale supplier and distributor of petroleum products. If you're a construction manager, a trucking company, an oil field pro, industrial worker, farmer, any type of fleet fueling, Fidelity Fuels wants to partner with you, and you should want to partner with them as well. Emergency response. You probably have that. You have a generator for the hurricanes, for the floods, for the freezes, but do you have your fuel lined up for those generators? Fidelity Fuels can make sure that you're prepared for that. How can they help trucking companies? Well, it's simple. Efficiency. Keep your drivers out of the truck stops and have more control of your fuel spending. Are you tired of paying retail prices for your DEF? Well, let Fidelity drop a tote right in your yard, saving you time and money. Do you need solvent for crude or asphalt cleanup? From tools to terminal storage tanks, Fidelity offers a variety of solvents to meet your exact need. They can also help in the construction site. Mobile tank for on-site fuel storage, delivery to fill up those dirt movers. They come to you. How cool is that? Or whatever else you need fueled. Fidelity Fuels works around the clock, 24-7, 365, no days off for Fidelity Fuels. And they're also WBE, SBE, DBE, and Hub certified. So if you're looking for a partner for municipal contracts or to fulfill your company's diversity goals, Fidelity can help. Reliable deliveries, competitive pricing, that's Fidelity Fuels. Call now at 877-938-FUEL, 877-938-3835, or check them out online at FidelityFuels.com, FidelityFuels.com.
ESPN 97.5.